down 2 weeks from today now, and that sort of thing. I'm giving you a pass, but I'd like to give you a little bit of a
Aussie Crawl, of course it is here at Triple M. The program is Get This. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome aboard. It's me, Tony Martin.
Anchored in old thinking.
We've got Ed Cavally.
Anchored in the past.
And of course, pushing buttons, Richard Marsland.
That's the guts.
Yeah.
Really the guts.
I like the sound of that. Could you give him a shock, Mr. Marsland?
Oh,
stop that, Mr. Rudd. We'll be dishing out electric shocks to other political leaders in the interest of balance.
Absolutely right.
Of course. In the program, how is everyone this morning?
Right, thanks, Tom.
I've had a fair amount of blood removed today.
Sorry?
Yeah, just for a bit. But no, at the hospital, too much iron, as you know.
Isn't there a way to just extract the iron without taking all of the blood? I mean, I don't claim to be a blood dude, but surely there's a way of just... If we can... Liposuction start from the arse and inject it into my face.
What about a giant magnet? A giant red cartoon horseshoe-shaped magnet? You think that would do the trick?
Might
have suggested that at the hospital.
How'd that go down?
Not too well, because see, I'm sitting in one of these wards where it's people with too much iron having blood removed, and then next door, old ladies with not enough iron having it put back in.
That's just taunting.
I'm going, just hook up some jumper leads. Let's cut out the middle man. Just pump it straight over. Can you do that? I'm not sure if that's allowed, but the woman who was sitting next to me this morning announced to the entire ward at one point, "You know, the only program I watch on television is Dancing with the Stars. Because
right.
There's no swearing. It's just good, clean fun." No swearing in Dancing with the Stars. That's probably why I haven't tuned in.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it was
probably do with a bit more swearing. But then she's done that thing of, like, see if you can work out what she's saying here. She's going, "Oh, I mean, it's amazing work, really. Why is she doing this? Who's she telling?" She's just telling everyone in the ward.
Has there been
Dry's PA on? But they've just gone into this. She's gone, "Oh, and, you know, they do very well, these celebrities, considering how short a run they have to rehearse. I mean, proper ballroom dancers would take a couple of years to get to the point that those celebrities are." Although I must say, the celebrities, there's a lot of football, a lot of beginners there. And then you realise, right, being a ballroom dancer.
Here we go.
I just demanded a bucket at that point. But there was no swearing.
No, absolutely right.
I will point that out. So that was there. And then, you know, I was supposed to be in here this morning to interview Warwick Capper.
Well, we all were.
Yeah. I thought, maybe if I lost a lot of blood, then that might reduce my brain
beyond Warwick's level.
Below the Plimsoll line. So I can conduct a coherent conversation with Warwick Capper.
Well, you try to have a coherent conversation with the bloke, but he doesn't answer his phone.
What's going on there?
Yeah. Well, I suggested he was maybe making some deleted scenes for the video.
That's good stuff.
Because that's my first question. That's why he didn't answer his phone, because he knew my first question was going to be, "Hello, Warwick Capper, I sent you $60 and have received no videos." I'm getting more stuff from the Nigerians that I send money to. At least they keep sending emails after you give them some cash.
So you're saying Warwick's on the lam?
He's on the lam.
Okay.
So I've gone to Capper World to see what else I can get from his $60.
Yes.
And I've got something in mind for our producer, Nikki Hamilton.
Yeah.
Look at this, Nikki. How would you like a maternity T-shirt that says Warwick Capper on the front?
Sounds good.
All right. That's good stuff. Some of the best acting I've ever heard in this studio. Okay, so we don't have our big-ass Warwick Capper exclusive to bust out at the top of the show.
No.
We need something new, though.
Yeah.
Is that fire still raging in California?
I think they've contained a lot of it, but still a lot of damage. Over 500,000 acres of California.
Yeah, Governor Schwarzenegger, he does a good job. He just shows up and drops a few catchphrases and moves on. And it seems to work. It's across there now.
Mr. Governor, what can you do to reassure the people of California that they're about to stay?
All I know, right, is that, ladies and gentlemen, the threats have been terminated. All I know is they have been terminated. There is no danger, because the danger has been terminated.
These people need more reassurance.
Hasta la vista, congregation. It is not the fighting, because we have perfected it, calling the threat of all the danger.
But what specifically have you achieved?
because all these people carrying away with specific ethos, right? They just need to go that the danger has been terminated. Right. The flame that you see that was burning up all the whole state and stuff, right? The, all of that, right, will not be bad.
Get this around the nation. Your music connection.
I think,
here at Triple M, no one talks or plays more music on the network than us.
Mm-hmm.
The ARIA winners, weren't they fantastic?
Oh, yeah.
The Sneaky Sound System.
Oh, it's so sneaky as.
I think we've got a clip of them here.
Turn off your projector!
Sorry.
They're on the top.
I finally worked out the lyric before that.
What is it?
I've got lots of pictures in my head.
I don't know. I wouldn't know it unless you sung it.
Better not. I just enjoy hearing Tony say the phrase Sneaky Sound System.
Yeah. Mm. Which I still don't, you know, those lyrics don't make any sense unless you sing them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know. Well, I will after the show.
Yeah.
Of course, get this winding up in 4 weeks' time. So many emails coming in. Nicole Murray says she's going to miss the show. She says, I spend my day with a four-year-old, and having the ridiculous banter of Get This makes a change from talking Spider-Man, doodles, giant poo, and all things boy. I'm sorry, that just sounds like our program.
Man, we've got Dobbin and giant poo today. It's our phone topic, so we're going to have to...
Doodles coming next.
Change some stuff.
And then Scott Ing is going to be here, so it'll probably be a fair bit of Spider-Man talk.
Hello to all the four-year-olds listening.
Yes.
Want to have a biscuit? Do I know, man? They want biscuits.
They want ducks. No, they want TV shows. So many TV shows we've talked about on the show over 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So many requests for clips that we played before.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we know which is the most popular show we've talked about. What is our favourite network on Australian TV at the moment? Rich, what is it?
I would say the Crime Investigations Network.
Our favourite thing they have on Crime Investigation Network is Drunks in New Zealand.
Mm.
We're talking about Police 10-7, mm. where you follow the cops around as they try and deal with unruly locals.
Mm.
This is our latest contender.
Oh, I've got a picture, a bloke.
Okay.
I've got my eyes closed.
Possibly a married gentleman.
Okay.
In a shell suit. And that's it. And he's in a car that may not be his own.
When Mike breaks the news that the car's stolen, he gets an unexpected reaction from Paul.
Okay, stolen.
Well, it is.
How do you know?
Because I've checked the engine block. I've just told you, okay?
Nah.
Check the engine up.
Well, you know what? I had another policeman go through the car. He didn't say it was stolen.
Step off the road, all right? I don't want you getting hurt.
Oh, shit. You want me getting hurt, all right?
No, I don't. Now, listen to me.
I didn't know the car was stolen.
Well, listen, Paul. The only way we're going to get the guy who stole the car is if you're prepared to tell me about the circumstances.
Just say it, mate. Just say it. Don't say anything. Just say it.
Well, marking off only implies that you know something about it being stolen.
I'll tell you what. You charge me for stealing the stolen.
That's not what I want to do. I want to get to the bottom.
Nah, you do. You want to lock me up for the night? Let's go. Come on. You think I'm scared of the stolen, mate?
No, I don't.
I lock from the stolen.
Hey, cut that language out.
You want to lock me up?
No.
I've done nothing wrong.
What he's done there is he's marched over to the cop's car, over the back door, and just sat at the back and demanded that he be arrested.
What I love is that on the, in the American version of Cops, he would be tasered well and truly by now.
So tasered.
He would have taken nine sticks to the brain over and over again before he even started walking towards the car.
So now he's sitting in the cop car, and let's pick up the action.
Let's go. I didn't stole that car.
Well, I'm not arresting you.
Why not?
Because I told you, at this stage, all I want to do is get a statement from you to try and determine possession of that vehicle.
I bought that car from the Mangere Caravan Park. That is my car.
Well, it's not. It's a stolen car.
I'm going to grab all my gear.
Well, you're not going to do that at this stage, eh?
No, what are you going to... My Bible, that's all.
Well, you can get your Bible, but the rest of the stuff, you can get at a later date, all right?
You might be law of the flesh, mate, but you don't know about law of the spirit.
Now, there's one to try. On the cops when they pull you over.
Law of the what?
Sorry, mate.
Law of the flesh, that's your jurisdiction.
Oh, yeah.
I'm over here in the law of spirit, so
I can take as many piquetas as I want.
So what he's done now is he's got out of the cop car, he's marched back to his own car, which may be stolen, and then he's just decided he's not going to leave that car.
With Paul getting more and more difficult to deal with, Mike decides it's time to make an arrest.
I've asked you to refrain from using that language. Now you're under arrest for using the same language, all right, in a public place. Come over here.
It's nothing.
Because you're under arrest. Hey, Paul, listen to me.
I'm going to get 10 years for that.
Because you're
going to get 10 years for that.
Let me finish, all right? Because you're under arrest, I'm going to tell you now that you have the right to
decide. You know what? I was under arrest anyway.
All right, well, hold on. No, you weren't.
You said what?
Hey, listen. Hop out of the car.
Take me to the police.
Hop out of the car, Paul. Please, hop out of the car. Thank you.
Since when did you
listen to me?
Please.
You have the right to consult with and instruct the lawyer without delaying in private?
Yeah, I will too.
Yes.
As soon as we get there.
Hold on. You're not obliged to make a statement?
What have I done wrong?
Listen to me.
What are you charging me for?
I've just told you. You've been arrested for the same language.
Yeah.
All right?
Is that all? There. So what?
Put your hands on the car. All right? Oh, you're here. Last but not least,
shoot me. Go on.
Last but not least,
but shoot me.
I have to say anything.
Go on.
Anything you do say will be
shoot
in evidence.
Shoot me.
Do you understand those
things? Okay.
Right. And put your hand behind your back.
Paul later pleaded guilty to using obscene language and possession of cannabis.
See, I was wrong about the drug part. Clearly. So there it is. That's the kind of action that's unfolding over on cable on CI, the Crime Investigation Network. Just rename it the Drunks in New Zealand Network. Make us happy.
How do you think they convicted him of obscene language?
Do you know any evidence?
So much beeping in the courtroom.
Now on Fox 8, it's been upgraded.
Not bad.
We're taking claim for that, I think, aren't we?
I often go to hospital waiting rooms and just stand there going,
I watch Police 10-7, but it's got swearing in it, and no Daryl Summers, and no good clean fun. I hate that good clean fun. What are we talking about if you've just tuned in? Mystifying, but don't worry, all will become clear. We'll be back with your email. Before too long, that's Paul Kelly. Here at Get This, around the nation. That's right, Get This.
Your time is up!
Hang on, Prime Boy. It's not over yet.
Yes, Boydy.
Yeah, getting so many emails.
Oh, man.
Hundreds. Listen to this, Tony.
Who wrote this one, Tony?
Well, this guy says, one up the bracket for Team Martin for never reading an email of mine out. That's from Zazov. Comedy, comma, Rudy. Yeah, I'm not going to say Rudy Zazov on the radio. That's not going to happen.
I get it.
Come on, Zazov. Better like this song.
Zazov.
What about Carolyn Forster?
Okay.
She's in love with us, apparently. You know why? Because laughter is the quickest way into a lady's undercrackers. That's a cool thing.
Quickest way into the gooner as well, apparently.
Yep, good.
Wait a second.
Gavin Wood writes on petitionsquad.com, without Get This, I don't bar up. Come on, Triple M.
That makes no sense. That's the kind of mystifying reference that's seen us.
All right, Regina Enos.
Right,
or she. Last on television, advertising a something-something that sends you a something-something. It's good to see he's really making something of his life, despite being born an alien horse. here's another one. Mark Roberts writes in and says, I don't know what all this problem with how Richard lives his life is. You guys go on and on about it, how Richard lives his life. It's clear. It was made a documentary by Rolf the Hare called Bad Boy Bubby.
Oh, right. He does own an awful lot of glad rap.
David Reisman writes in and says, I'm pretty sure that Richard spends all of his time wrestling senior citizens. He'll only let them out of a full Nelson when they cry, you're the king, Marsman. You're my king. And finally, Mark Greenwood writes, Richard lives in a ditch filled with whiskers and pasta sauce. There, settled.
Yes. They're getting closer. Well done. What about Chris Hayward? Now, I think he was the man who added a C and B on Marsland's head on our Wikipedia page. So he's looking for a prize, Nicky.
Did he ever contact you?
Oh, we had about four people who all claimed they did the C and B.
Plenty of prizes for everyone for quality work like that.
If anyone can do it to him while he's sleeping,
they're really in love for something.
Anyway, Chris Payhor is giving us kudos because he claims Triple M's get this prompted me to read Nikolai Gogol's Dead Souls. I remember that. Is that our book of the week here at Triple M?
Wow.
Dead Souls. Back into the Russian literature.
All right.
That's what we call it over the Tasman. Literature. What about this? You've got Big Fish now. I know that's a real name. No jokes, please. He's saying, have you got any copies of Illegal Download left? Now, this was an album we did last year. Only 1,000 copies were stamped.
Mm.
But it's called Illegal Download. So the idea was, hopefully, someone will put it up on the internet for free. Nobody thought to do it yet. So Triple M have gone and done it themselves.
If you go to triplem.com.au,
yeah,
follow the links through the Get This page,
yeah,
you can download not only the album, but yeah, the album cover art as well.
That's right, so you can make your own illegal version of Illegal Download now.
And the best part is, no picture of Richard.
It was before the white ending really started to kick in.
Really good-looking cover.
There is a picture of me on the Triple M site, though, that you have drawn, a caricature of me, that is meant to, I believe, be put on to women's...
No, meant to be on your
undercrackers.
You draw it on... If you're a gentleman with a petite seat,
yes,
you draw it on your undercracker. Yep. If you get it into the zoo's booty bank,
yep,
you win a prize. Yes, promotions, win a prize. I said it.
We've had no luck.
No luck.
And no single entry.
And we've been scouring that booty bank, so we're throwing it open. Women... If you're listening...
Oh, right now, so anybody gets in there.
I know you're not, but if any one of our listeners have met a woman in the past, I doubt, then if you can convince one of them to draw it on and get it into the booty bank, you will win. That's why promotions win. All right, let's see, Nikki. What are we going to give away? You can have...
Here we go.
Some whispers and pasta sauce.
No. Oh, yeah. A night in the ditch with Rich.
Like, what is that? I'm talking about women. It's not just all fans of Nikolai Gogol listening to this show. There's women wearing undercrackers.
That's true.
Aren't you listening closely? I'd just like to say that while you can download the cover, I think they should put the whole booklet up, really, if it's going to be done properly. If we're taking this seriously, you should be able to download the whole booklet. So
A basket of spam. That's what we'll give away. If you can... Get yourself into the booty bank. A basket of spam awaits.
Yeah,
outstanding. Now,
loose spam. When do the kiddies come out of school these days?
Oh, dear.
I mean, they seem to be having earlier and earlier days now.
Yeah.
Is that right, Rich? My little nephews are getting out at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I reckon 3:20, 3:30?
Yeah, I think we've got to play the Sopranos thing next.
Yeah, okay.
Before the kiddies get out of school. It is the final episode of the Sopranos tonight.
Oh,
talk about that next. We'll get this. Tie it off. Let's get this around the nation on Triple M. Ed Cavalier's here. Richard Barnes here.
I'm here.
Nikki, our producer, is here. Cecilia on the phone. Matt Dow toiling in a dungeon somewhere. No one's seen him for months. All of us waiting for, well, the final episode of The Sopranos. A few of us have had a look at the preview tape.
Yeah.
How would you describe it, Rich?
I reckon it was fantastic.
Yeah.
That final scene.
Well, it's not for everybody. I mean, generally... People seem very divided about the ending. I saw an interview with Jerry Seinfeld, and he said he watched the final episode, and he felt relieved because he went, finally, someone has made a worse last episode than me.
Well, I really liked the final episode.
He thought about it, and he said 2 days later he realised it was brilliant.
Yeah.
So,
I thought it was excellent. I don't want to say too much.
No.
It's never going to get to the Wonder Years territory.
Well, a bit weird.
Winnie and Kevin doing what, Rich?
Well, you think that's the final episode. That's the final episode of the first season.
No,
that's the final episode of the first season. No, the final episode of the entire show is Daniel Stern, the voiceover,
talking through what happens in the next few years. Kevin's brother actually died a couple of years later.
Not the final scene. At the start of the final episode, they're all up in the barn, and then later on it gets to that boring bit with the parade.
Yeah.
I hated all that stuff.
Well, the bit where James Gandolfini flies off in a helicopter, and Ian Falco has written the words goodbye in rocks. Quite touching.
Very touching.
They tune in tonight, whatever damn time they're flying at.
10:45, calendar day.
And if nothing else, you will always remember to leave your handbrake on once you've seen tonight's Sopranos. Now, we're going to play this thing. It's got a bit of swearing in it. Most of the swearing is beat.
Good.
This will be the last time we play it, but we have had so many requests.
Okay.
Most of these names are unreadable. Mick W. I think that's the only. Not obscene one I can put to where. This was when Channel 9 just stopped moving the show around, Alan, to say, is there anything you guys can do to get him to stop changing nights and time slots?
Mm.
So we decided to put the man himself on the case. Here's what happened. Language warning applies.
Hello, 9 Network.
Hello, is that the Channel 9?
Yes. Well, we have moved the time slot.
So what's that about?
Well, I'm afraid
I don't
appreciate being spoken to in this matter. That show is very popular with our viewers, and advertisers very favourably disposed towards
it. What do you have to be doing
for
that show?
Yeah. Yeah, of course we are.
Where am I spent?
Sorry? Huh? What?
Where are my envelopes? And there's some party down there.
Who?
You get some envelopes, some of that stuff you got from the crazy guy, Vodafone, whatever that shit is. You get it down to me here, right there at the bottom of these, okay?
I'm sorry, this conversation.
Okay, then what can you do? You put pizza in the pot.
Who?
I'm going to talk to that guy. I know he's running from the family.
I'm sorry, I don't know who you're
talking about. Mr. F***ing Paparazzi, that's who I'm talking about. You put him on here. I know the guy.
I don't appreciate this. I can't.
There's nothing to get your f***ing head around this, okay? People f***ing disappear, okay?
What?
You got that who's that guy? The TV hopeful, Drake Wall.
Yes.
Right? How do you think Australia's going to feel one day to wake up? There's no f***ing Drake Wall, right?
I don't know.
Who's that? And who's that, that pretty boy you got down there? Ed Phillips, right? From the f***ing temptation, whatever that shit is.
Yes.
One day you're coming in, Ed Phillips is gone. So don't imagine yourself trying to get by with no exit, with no great wall, with no false stuff at the moment.
Look,
I don't even want that shit out.
Sir, if you have a problem with...
I'm going to make this real simple for you, okay? You have to get some panels on. So I'm going to come down there. I'm going to get into your little library stuff. I'm going to go out every f***ing episode of Fox for this little f***ing truth, right? And I'm going to play it back to f***ing there. Don't be back there at night.
Look, this is...
Think about that.
This is a very offensive phone call.
Well, you see how f***ing serious I am about this shit.
Look, I don't...
Just stop making my f***ing show around like it's fair. You're all hiding. It's on the f***ing mattress and you can't find the f***ing thing, okay? Keep it still. The home office. You got those people at that funny video show? You tell them to find a clip by Ed Beverly with a guy on a mouth mask and then punch in your face, okay? I want to see that and I want the prize. Hello? Thank you.
Racing podcast went up last night. That'll be 144. Your last chance to hear Angus Sampson take our name-drop challenge. A fair bit of Andrew Mercado plans for the weekend. Petition update. Behind the Rock with Gary Newman was cleared for podcast at last. So that goes up there. And quite a few treats, you know, that have finally been approved by lawyers after, some, in some cases, waiting for 2 years.
Wow.
Are going to be filling and chocking up to get this podcast as we head towards the finishing line.
Those sketches are like Nelson Mandela, waiting for freedom. And now look at him. Hey?
Yeah.
They're a free man, and they'll walk out the front door.
Well,
is that what he says at the end of In the Name of the Father?
In the Name of the Father. I'm walking out the front door.
Is that Daniel Day-Lewis?
That's pretty. That wasn't bad.
I thought that was in Nelson Mandela. I'm very confused. Let's go and talk back. Mountain and Benny runs one of the many Get This MySpace pages.
And you, Benny.
Wants a bit of Ultravox. To me, we're up Talkback Mountain. What is our topic here, Cavalier?
Well, today, Tom, we're playing
As If.
Yeah.
How does this work?
Well, you see something and you don't think it's entirely true.
Oh, okay. So an example would be comedy, laughter. It's the way into a lady's undercrackers. One of our emailers suggested.
Have a look at this bloke. On a shielded victim, says flag-draped rioter. He was photographed wearing the Australian flag as he attacked a man on a train during the infamous Cronulla riots in Sydney.
Oh, right.
But now this bloke's saying that he was trying to protect the guy getting attacked.
Oh, that old one.
From all the crazy rioters. In a statement, he said, I was out for my morning flag drape walk when I saw a gentleman of Middle Eastern appearance on a train, and I thought I might just let him know how happy I am to see him with a couple of friendly love taps around the head and shoulders. But before I knew it, this bunch of lunatics are getting all rioty. And it was lucky I was up the front throwing punches, or he may well have been really hurt.
I love it when people get a bit rioty. Not so you lot.
I know when a riot's attacking me, I'm always like, where's the guy at the front? The one who started it. Oh, thank goodness he's here, protecting me.
Yes, bro. See, that's like the bloke who, well, we meet him every week in the newspapers, the man who's caught downloading something he shouldn't be off the internet and then claims, oh, I was just doing some research. The project I'm working on. There is no such thing as police corruption in the Philippines.
Oh, really?
I don't know. There's an interesting article in the paper this week. Listen to this from Manila. The Philippines is giving the tough image of 110,000 police officers a friendly makeover. They've been ordered to stop wearing so much expensive jewellery to work to remove suspicions that they were corrupt. How much jewellery are these blokes wearing?
Well, I think I saw when I was in Malaysia, isn't it, Tony?
Yeah, I was in the Philippines.
In the Philippines. Yeah. And I was there and I did some littering and a man being held aloft in a throne told me to pick it up, and I thought, I think something's going on here. Cops can afford thrones.
When you see a guy directing traffic in, like, a dress made out of gold, the American Express car. When you see a parking officer with an entourage,
yeah,
that's when you know they're corrupt.
Something's going on.
Okay. You were in the Philippines recently. It could be anything.
Could be anything.
Mr. Marsland.
Tonight's doing a show without some cross-promotion. Okay, this is last week.
Yeah.
And they did a follow-up story on a little girl, a little sick girl.
Yeah.
And you think, well, that's it's interesting that they follow the story.
Yeah.
What a wonderful, triumph of the spirit of the story.
Yeah.
How can they possibly follow this story up? Have a listen.
Just a few weeks ago, Imogen Alton was waiting for a double lung transplant of a kind that had never been performed in this country. Now she's a picture of health and enjoying every moment of Dancing with the Stars.
Nicely done. And and I have timed this story out, right? And they sent this little girl to Dancing with the Stars. Obviously, she's a fan, but she had good fun. And so I timed the story out. It was like 3:20, and they spent about 1:10 with the girl. It was about 35% of the story was about the little girl.
Right.
The rest was about Today Tonight.
David Hobson, meanwhile, was just sad to see Elka go.
She could be in It Takes Two possibility. She's got quite a good voice, actually, if you're looking for...
Well, we don't do cross-promotion on Today Tonight.
Yes, the man has been kept hostage in a Lebanese prison for the last 15 years. On emerging, he said, I can't wait to see the premiere of Ugly Betty on the Seven Network.
Well, one of those, yeah.
That's doggy.
All right.
Okay. Anything at all, listeners. Anything at all that makes you say 133353. Let's call out boy here and get this on Triple M, where today we're looking for things that make you say. We've got one here. Hi, Tori.
Hi.
What's going on?
Oh, just doing the ironing.
The ironing?
No, my as if is 21-year-old guys who watch the OC and they say they watch it just so they can mock it, when you know they really love it.
Oh, really?
Really, yeah. Tori? Now, Tori, where can you still see the OC on your telly?
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh,
you see it? I didn't get it on DVD, but I haven't seen it on telly.
Come on, Tori.
Misha Barton, good move leaving that series. Has she done a Caruso?
Well, who knows what she does now.
Yes, good call, sorry.
But she's, I think, going to be going into the movies. Possibly just a series of dresses.
All right, Tori, good stuff, good stuff. Nice to talk to you. Hello, Leanne, how are you?
Hi, fellas, how are you?
Excellent. You're as if?
Britney Spears' mother writing a book about raising kids.
Isn't that really happy?
It's happening, yeah.
What kind of stuff has she got?
Huh? Well, I don't know what's going to be in it, but it'll be interesting.
Yeah, to get kids to accept those Percodan pops that they really don't want.
That's right. Baby's first rehab, that kind of thing.
That's right. What are you doing today, Leanne?
Me, I'm just about to pick up the kids.
Oh.
And listen, can I just say how devastated I am that you blokes are going off?
Oh, thank you. That's all right. It's cool because we're all, as I say, we're going to be doing it on cruise ships, Leanne. So look out, fair princess. Here we come.
You know, once you've picked up your kids, you can pick us up and we'll just do the show in the back of the car.
We were.
The carpooling lane. What?
Did I even lie on my Gallup poll? You know, the Morgan Bolt that we get you to do?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they say, you know, what radio stations do you listen to?
Yes, yes.
And because I got four kids, so I can't listen to you all the time.
Right.
So I lied on it and said I listen to you all the time, and it's still getting rid of it.
Despite your campaign of lies. Thank you for going in the valley.
Great job.
Nice job,
you know. Lots of girls calling today. Is it possible that we're appealing to the opposite sex finally?
Hi, Antonio. How are you?
Good.
Talk us through the idea, bro.
Well, yeah, doing Year 12 at the moment. I'm supposed to be studying.
Yeah, well, fair enough. Eh?
Yeah, and the English exam's on Friday, and in 3 hours we're supposed to write just about 8 pages.
Oh. You know, Antonio, what's it about? Because in my Year 12 exam, we had to do an analysis of the Bed of Roses poster. Remember that terrible Christian Slater film? We had to write 8 pages on the poster.
How could that be?
I was there, Tone. I mean, I was on a lot of Percodan, but I was there. Now, well, Antonio, what are you expected to write about? What are you studying this year?
Well, currently I'm studying The Quiet American and A View from the Bridge, which is a play.
Yes.
So I've got to analyse those two and then do an analysis of some, like, issue that we're given and then give our point of view on it.
Gee, so obviously school's got a lot more complicated than Ed's day when it was analysing posters for Christian Slater film.
Clearly.
Were you aware that Ed's dad, or at least the nearest one they've got to identifying
it, one of the suspects,
yeah, was actually one of the inspirations for The Quiet American.
Really? That's interesting.
Do you want me to come in and give a talk at your school?
Sure, no worries. We could do with the help. You know, a lot of people are struggling.
Can do, bro.
That is one of the most interesting things we've learned in 2 years in this show. Your dad was Michael Caine.
Yeah, and my mum is the bassist for Mary Poppins, which is nice.
Lovely. All right, I know it sounds like we're joking. That's apparently true. Thanks to everyone who had an answer today. And like you say, we're starting to appeal to the ladies. That'll certainly continue in the next hour when Scott Edgar arrives.
Style, eroticism and sensuality.
The second hour brought to you by the Nissan Navara Mutual and Powerlum Scott Ingers. To quote one of our listeners, that laughter is the way into a lady's undercrackers.
That's
guy to try find to discover to be true over
here. You know what? Musical sort of cabaret comedy is where the bitches are at.
Well, there
the ladies can't resist a little bit of skinny unconeness.
Well, we're going to have a bit of that. We're going to play Job in a Nerd One final time with you in this hour. And we're going to have a look at your new album. You always seem to have done at least two or three albums when you come in on the program.
Yeah, prodigious as well. I thought, I'm very proud of this album, but I also thought I might get a bit of comedy value bringing it in showing you. I do not tend to come in and present it.
No, Scott Edgar in the Universe, that's a feeling. I mean,
that's when you can't be bothered thinking of a name for your band.
That's right.
You just call it the Universe.
Well, we'll talk about the Universe and what they've been up to in this hour.
Okay.
Close to me, the Cure. Here at Get This, it's the second hour on Triple M.
And woe betides anyone who has the hide to criticise it.
Thank you, Richard. Woe betides indeed. Look, it's Scott Edgar.
I'm very happy to see you. It took about 40 seconds after you got in the door that we were talking Toto's Africa.
So I was very happy with that.
One of my favourite songs.
You know, with the top, I used to do a cover of that, an acapella take on it.
Acapella?
Yeah. Started out.
Yeah.
Who did the keyboard like that?
Amazing. Well, try not to mention that band again. It will go off.
Yeah,
you get one
here.
One free one, and then suddenly Rosanna keeps it. Just give it a try. Just say the band if you could, Scott. Now, you were, of course, pointing in wonderment at our producer's stomach, which houses a tiny child, we're told, unless it's an elaborate ruse involving pillows that's been going on all year. Nikki is due to give birth to somebody.
Mm.
Exactly 2 weeks after we finish. How's the way she's timed it?
Exactly. It's very clever.
You've been making some calls late at night, haven't you?
I think that's the reason we've been at.
That's it. Backroom policy.
Anyway, we're talking about that, and then suddenly you happen to mention what you're having some sort of child.
I'm having some form of child. After I got to Edinburgh, which meant it was about 6 weeks before I could actually get
home. Oh, my God.
Yes,
but you don't have
touring lifestyle,
isn't it? But you don't have to do anything, do you?
Well,
I mean, your work is done.
I have to think up things to do. I have to be involved. I'm pretty sure there'll be things I can do, making Milos and things like that.
Oh,
foot rubs and whatnot, you know, that kind of stuff.
Nicky's nodding. And, of course, in comedy, what happens is if you're having kids, most comedians will say, oh, yeah, that's got to be 20 minutes and you.
20 minutes and you, yeah, surely. Yeah, if we can find some time to actually write the song, then maybe. Yeah, Yoni's got two kids. He's got a 3-year-old and a 6-month-old or thereabout.
Wow.
And, we've actually only written one sort of thing about his little one.
All right.
And it's about how we've not written anything yet about
him. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
What about Gacy? Is he dragging the chain in that department?
He's got a lovely lovely woman.
He's got a lovely woman.
Good on him. And, I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. And when the child is of age that it can understand things like Nintendo Doctor Who, what sort of skills and things will you be passing on?
Well, skills are right out.
Skills?
No skills.
Songwriting, surely.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I plan to skip all the children's literature and stuff, like to the unabridged version of Lord of the Rings, I reckon.
Wow. With the songs left in.
Yeah, with the songs in.
The elfin songs.
That's a pretty good line. I'm just making up the tunes as I'm reading it out loud.
Yeah, okay. Not bad.
That's pretty good.
And speaking of making up tunes, you've got a new band. Or is this a new band? Or?
It is. Well, it's newish. We've been playing around Melbourne for a couple of years now in pubs and whatnot.
The Universe.
Yes.
And you've got an album. Beautiful artwork. You do all your own.
I do my own artwork.
Yes. And what is the... Obviously, we can't play any of the Universe today. Sadly.
Well, we're no machine translations. Who have you got this week? Cold Chisel. We're definitely no Cold Chisel.
Well, Thirsty Moog coming up.
Thirsty Moog.
I don't think you fit into that category.
No.
What is the Universe sound?
Look, I was
wondering.
I would say it would be, I guess you could describe it as jazzy, acoustic, adult, contemporary pop. Not nerdy at all. Jaunty. Jaunty is another word that I can get.
Yeah, right.
Mentioned.
All bases covered. Do the other members of Tripod come along and stand at the back of the gigs? And
they come when it would be really rude not to.
No. Can I get out of this?
Scott, I'm intrigued by the song title Trapped in a Constable.
Yes.
Well, that is the opening gambit. It refers to the landscape painter Constable.
There you go.
Yeah, a metaphor for suburban life.
Great film clip, though.
Great film clip. It's a hand clip in the making.
What about Right Up the Turner? Who's that? What's that about?
Fairly cost to mention in this very same song. I have, in fact, written a pop song comparing the two.
We've already had Go Goal in the first hour. We're keeping the Triple M demographic on board.
Yeah.
Look, we're going to have politics next. Don't go away. Don't be frightened. It will still be funny, hopefully. I'll get this. Yeah, I think you made that point, but you moved the hard way here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. Scott Edgar, well, amongst many other things. He's part of Tripod, let's not deny it. He's here today. You were at the Arias,
I think. I was at the Arias.
Yeah.
We had a lovely time. We, in fact, finally met Rodney Rood. Met him up close. Rodney Rood, quite a polite guy.
Actually,
it turns out.
It was all an act.
Not that rude. Yeah.
Despite the fact he was on his I Don't Give a Rat's Ass tour for 3.5 years.
Just after your mum's bum wound up. Straight on Don't Give a Rat's Ass.
And of course his most recent tour, and indeed the album that you guys were up against.
There it is. And, yeah, which is a good name for an album. You've got to admit.
Sure. So what was it? Was the shop talk?
Well, I didn't get a chance to really partake in the whole conversation with Rodney. Yoni and Rodney really sat down and downloaded, but right. At the time I was trying to get Gatesby into the building because he had just missed his plane that day.
Right.
Yoni and I had to actually go up the red carpet as a couple, which was lovely. Yeah, I was into that.
There was a baby bump on you as well, didn't you? Might as well wagging.
I was trying to wear a sort of Empire Line dress to cover it, but it's not going to work. Yeah.
And how are we doing any sort of interviewing on the red carpet?
We did a little bit of interviewing. We had an interview and we had a few youngsters, you know, charitable enough to ask for our autograph.
That's right.
Was lovely. Although one of them, as I was signing her little book thing, someone more famous was coming up behind us. I think it was Daniel Jones. You could sort of hear by the roaring.
Yeah.
And she actually snatched her pen and book back off me. Someone more famous was on their way up there.
Cross it out, you. Cross it out. Now, was it Songs from
Self-Sourcing?
That's an excellent album. How many times now have you been nominated for the ARIA?
Our nominations, if you include the Skid Out compilation DVD, would number seven.
Seven?
Out of which we've won one.
Only once.
The thing I think Rodney actually is probably, I think he's been nominated every year that we have as well, and some more before that too, so... I'm, you know, there, but for the grace of God, go on.
I'm actually, my one sort of big note, I'm actually the record holder for winning that particular award.
Really? How many?
Well, I still have won four.
You've got four arias, though.
For best comedy album, was three with...
You could make a crown out of them.
I could.
You could prop your car up and walk around with it. It's dangerous. I will not have them in the house.
Because, as I say, you fall over and skewer yourself, and that's all you'll be remembered.
Very true.
Man's spiked by own accolade. But no, it's three with Mick Molloy, and then one with the Z Generation before Mick was in there, so technically it's four.
Well, yeah, but as a comedian, it's how many times you lose to
the most weight. Always striving for quantity, but hey, there's someone else who knows how to get a laugh, and that's Peter Costello. I think you'd agree, Scott. Eric, we've had a lot of requests for Mr. Costello's comments from earlier in the year when, as we know, he was blaming pretty much everything on Kevin Rudd. Have we got another one of those, Rich?
Let me begin by reassuring you, my name is Mr. Sutton. You must have seen the footage of him running from the plane, screaming like a schoolgirl, waving his hands. I mean, sure, some might suggest that that's, you know, I'm going to see him waving to someone else, someone who might have done a job, but I'm urging from that plane. Someone with perhaps any grasp of the inconsistent kind of this. That's not for me to say. I'd rather you
wouldn't. Who said such a thing?
I think we're all sort of distracted by the assassination.
What?
Wasn't it back,
Gavin?
Yeah,
there's no evidence.
Controlling fancy it, you know, in a restaurant in Perth.
A restaurant?
In Perth, Boots, Wallet and Joyce, Tony Cockbells, and Bradley John Murdoch.
Bradley John Murdoch?
Oh, yeah. And Alan Bowen, Justin Smith, and Tony. Oh, I'm probably eating this. Rather than just praise.
Well, smoke in the cockpit.
What do you do for pilots? I think when you listen to the pilot, it is full of smoke. I mean, it's a confusing environment. Who knows the water smoke? Maybe it was transformed. There was
a lot. Sure. What are you talking about?
Well, there was a lot of information from the
office. So you have to
say that sort of evidence. They weren't planning to redirect that plane towards our office.
Around the nation on Triple M. Scott Edgar is here. He's been here many times over the last 2 years, and it's always been a cue to play Dobbin and Nerd. Something from the Marsley
Collection.
You won't find that on Scott Edgar and the Universe. Find your album in the shops now. What would we find in your record or DVD collection that would instantly target you as a nerd, Scott Edgar?
I had a huge passion for movie soundtracks.
Oh,
when I was younger. And these aren't, they weren't necessarily classic movie soundtracks. They were.
Right.
I, for example, had on 12-inch vinyl the entire Karate Kid series.
Oh, right.
Soundtrack.
That's fair enough.
Oh, look, hey. You're the best around. I've been going
to everything. Great stuff. Everyone knows the word.
Everyone was climbing along.
I get the glory of love in the Karate Kid soundtrack.
And
of course, Summer by Bananarama.
There you go.
Fantastic.
I think the Lost Boys soundtrack kicked it off. That's actually quite a fair effort, the Lost Boys soundtrack.
It's great stuff on that.
Yeah. I had the Rambo 2 soundtrack.
Yeah.
Punches in the face.
That's
it's
music.
It's incidental music. So unless you're actually watching the movie, it doesn't make a whole lot of music.
What about the soundtrack to Dr. Detroit? By Devo.
I didn't see that one.
That'd be the jewel.
Well, hang on. Remember, what are we talking about when we say Devo talking films?
Yeah.
Scott Edgar, what was the film that Devo did all of the music for? From Dr. Detroit.
Yeah.
Any ideas? I'm going to have to go with Mr. Mum.
Oh, would have been amazing. A real minimalist feel. No, Revenge of the Nerds 2, Nerds in Paradise. Soundtrack by Devo.
Wow. And Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo continues to do all the music for the Wes Anderson films and also for Rugrats.
Okay, so, we lost everyone, do you think?
Can I help him in?
Go outside and call up, please. That's how it works. You have to just call up and tell a Dobbin, someone else, or yourself, who's exhibiting nerd-like behaviour. Now, people don't have to look like nerds to be involved in nerd-like behaviour. If you've alphabetalised, or if that's a word, I've never been able to say that. If you put all your alphabetized your DVDs by director name, as I have, then I think you're in nerd country.
Well, Tony, I spent all afternoon yesterday getting my Super Nintendo to work.
Oh, yeah.
Just so I could play Super International Cricket.
Fantastic.
Tell you what, it's paying off.
What did you have to do?
Well, you got to
like talk to the telly.
No, you got to tune it in an RF call, right? But I noticed that what was happening, Scott, is that it wasn't registering the RF. Now this can require two bits of remedial attention: either a jiggle on the cord of the back,
or
then you have to spend all night jiggling, or the old classic: spit on a tissue, rub it through the Super Nintendo to get the gunk off it. That's what did it.
So, jiggle it or spit on a tissue. Are the two options there.
A lot of people are dropping me in as a nerd, Scott, because I mention occasionally on air that I still have laser discs. And people are saying, you know, when are you going to get behind Blu-ray or HD DVD? Now, see, I don't know whether this is nerd versus geek country, but I don't really care what the system is. I'm concerned about what's on the DVD itself. You know, worrying about HD or Blu-ray, it's like worrying about the frame of the picture. Let's talk about the picture itself. What are the extras? What are the special features? Mm-hmm. What are the deleted scenes?
Blade Runner Director's Cut 8 is coming out soon, I believe. Ooh,
this is why I'm hanging on to LaserDisc, not because it's superior technology. It's not. But you can't get the Criterion commentary track on Taxi Driver.
I know, Tony.
On DVD.
No, I know.
You can't get the Spinal Tap commentary track with it as themselves, not as the characters.
Listen, nobody left out there.
You even lost me there, though.
But see, that's
first time ever.
It's not the technology, it's the content. Not throw away the laser display. Do you have anything like that, Scott? Old school technology at your house that you refuse to dump?
Oh, we've got, well, video games up the union as far as old systems is concerned. And so forth. The Nintendo 64.
Oh,
wow. A lot of stuff going on there.
America?
Oh, of course.
Hello. Sorry to insult you here.
Sorry,
I didn't see your tattoo when I asked you.
You know, that's a similar thing with when they try and sell you sound systems. They turn it up really loud, and that's meant to tell you that they're good speakers.
Exactly.
You know, it's a similar thing. It's like,
Oh, no, it's just for how many years you couldn't buy a television without some guy going, man, I'll put True Lies on, what do you hear this? It's not all going to be explosions. All right, do you know a nerd? Are you a nerd? Dob them in. Call us now, 1-3-3-5-3.
Maximum carnage for a few bottles of Victor.
Part of the air break, or is this our show? Okay, it's Dobbin and Nerd here and get this around the nation on Triple M. Scott Edgar is here, you may know him from Tripod, or Scott Edgar in the Universe, album in the shops now.
Well, can I stop you there and say it's on iTunes now?
Is it?
Yeah, but it's not in the shops yet.
Okay, that's fairly nerdish.
Yeah.
Welcome aboard. Who's on the line, Ed?
G'day, Ben.
Hey, Young.
Good, thanks, Dobbin and Nerd.
Oh, myself.
What are you doing?
I have various video game soundtracks, including that Mario one you just played just then.
Tell me, Ben, let's settle this once and for all. I maintain that it's from the original Nintendo Entertainment System version of Mario. Is that right or not?
That's an original sense to me.
Thank you very much.
Well, I'm glad we're tidying up these unfinished storylines before we sign off in 4 weeks.
Hey, are you going to go and see? There's an orchestra touring up, isn't there? Who's playing all the
time? Well, it has.
Oh, they've been and gone?
Yeah, I think so.
Did
you
go to the gig?
No, unfortunately, I couldn't get there.
Oh, right, fair enough. Well, it was nice to talk to you.
I hope the orchestra were all sort of moving space and data stuff. One seat over and then speeding up. I don't know, I wasn't there.
Hey, well, it's been. Thank you, Ben. G'day, Neil. How are you?
G'day. Oh, first of all, I have to say I'm very disappointed that you guys are going to be off the air.
That's all right,
it means I have to go back to work for 2 hours every day.
What a failure!
It is.
Terrible fate. Dobbin and Nerd, my friend.
Anyway, my friend. friend is a very good, very big fan of Mr. Edgar's fine work.
Oh, good.
My friend, not me. He likes to download philosophy lectures from the internet and listen to them on his iPod.
But if you lose your iPod in the woods, does it still make a sound, Neil?
Not sure about that. I'll have to check with him next time I see him.
Are they sponsored? Is it a philosophy podcast brought to you by Slade Bourbon?
Could be. I've never asked. I've never gone that far into his mind, you know.
Well, fair enough. Thank you, Neil. Well delved in. Nice talking to you. G'day, Craig. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, boys.
Dropping in there, my friend.
My mate, which is called Keith.
Okay.
He, still plays his game on a Commodore 64 with a... Remember the ones where you had to load with a little tape?
Oh, yeah. I spent most of my childhood waiting for that tape.
The game's called Super Huey, and he does it whilst listening to the theme from Apocalypse Now.
Flight of the Tiny Valkyrie.
Amazing. Well, at least he's not still playing Big Sleaze 2, Dinner Through the Drinking Glass, or my favourite game on Commodore 64, which was called Decline a Hobbit.
Okay, beautifully done, Craig, but I think Incavli is in the lead.
More than me. Hi, Dane, how are you?
G'day.
Dobbing in there, my friend.
Dobbing myself in.
What are you doing?
I have a 3,000-point Tyranid army for Warhammer 40K.
Yes. Dane, can I ask, what are you doing here talking to us? Surely you don't have time for this call.
Surely you should be out kicking ass.
I kick major miniature ass.
Tell me, Dane, are they scared of you? Like, when you roll into playing and you've brought your 3,000-point army, is that pretty much a lay down that there? Are you going to win no matter what?
Oh, they crap their pants when they see my tyrants.
Well, I'm scared just hearing about it.
How does it work, though? If you rock up with a 3,000-point army and someone's brought theirs and it's like a 75.1, I mean, how is that even fair?
Yeah.
Is there some system?
There is a system.
Oh, maybe we should go to
that.
Okay, that'll be podcastable. All right. I think.
Thank you, everyone.
Mr. Marsden, do we have time for one more nerd?
Yes, we do. I'm such a nerd that I'm looking at the clock.
Okay.
Okay. I'm the time police today.
Sand, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, guys.
Job one in.
I once knew a guy who, when he bought a new appliance or something, would go through the instruction booklet and highlight all the spelling and grammatical errors, then mail it back to the company so they could fix the problem.
When did you know me?
Really?
No, that's great.
I think it's racist, personally.
Oh, wow, yeah. I see where you're going with this.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Correcting other people's English.
You know? It's not right, is it?
They'll come to our country with their instruction booklet. The least we can do.
Good let him. Make the odd mistake.
Where is that man now, Xander?
I don't know, actually. He's lost in the history of my past.
I think his name's Christopher Pine. I think he's in the federal parliament somewhere.
It wouldn't surprise me.
All right. Thanks, Andrew. And thanks for your support over the last 2 years as well, sir.
Thanks for the show, guys.
All right.
For the memory.
We'll be around to do it in person in 4 weeks' time, going door to door. Alphabetically, I think that was a bad idea.
Yeah.
But coming up next, the musical stylings of Nickelback, yes. And Ed Cavalier. It's something new called Radio Nowhere. Scott Edgar is here.
Hello.
Which is always embarrassing when we have to play something new to do.
Oh, yeah.
So we're done. This was from last year, a few people. Jewel Zatz has. Is that a joke?
Yeah.
Is that a Seymour Butts?
I think so.
Jewel Zatz. Yeah.
Oh, Jewel, the singer, Jewel. Yeah. Is she noted for her ass?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Oh, she is.
Yeah,
okay,
fine.
Yeah, she's
quite dragging that wagon.
Yeah. Here's what she wants to hear. The time that we proved, finally, that Ed was a liker of Nickelback. How did we do that, Rich?
It's a dirty story of a dirty man, and he says he doesn't care for a certain man. Yes, it's Ed Cavalier that we're speaking of. You know, he claims that he's not, but he's secretly a Nickelback liker. Nickelback liker. Be a sad for Nickelback, I'd like to meet. Cause I really like your pants around your feet. Oh, I wouldn't tell Tony and Richard that. I'm a fan of your band, but it's true, I am a Nickelback liker. Nickelback liker.
Thank you, Ben Jealous and Mike Oldfield. The keyboard is there.
Yeah, I can't argue with that evidence. Can you?
No,
you can't do.
No, he's definitely a
Nickelback liker.
Ouch! Wow, my, up. My ears are bleeding.
Well, I'll see you at the Arias next year, mate.
I don't think you will. Let's hear from the modern sound of the Mighty Mighty Bosco.
Sign off here and get this around the nation on Triple M.
Scott Eager, thanks for sitting in.
Oh, pleasure to be here, thank you.
Obviously, we're winding up in 4 weeks.
Good luck with all your future endeavors.
We may have you through, but
do you need a roadie?
Can you lift any part?
Get somebody with an out-of-date laser this time. We don't know what we're going to do in the last week, but there is a bad plan to get every single person who's ever been on this show to do something. I can see that idea is an appealing
one.
One line of that power balance that Mr. Cavalli is finally going to finish writing. The first verse didn't go down that well, so it seems to have ended it.
That's enough, Eddie, you know.
In Tripod have, a song that's like your version of Every Rose Has Its Thorn, you know, the real heart-melting kind of...
Yeah. The word that's dark, it's a song about not playing, that's like too many video games.
Castles of Thunderbolt.
Yeah, very. Castles of Thunderbolt.
Oh, that sounds pretty good.
Well, I think you probably need to work on